Happy to have our visitors today. Hope you'll come back. Two weeks ago here, I preached on sanctifying ourselves. And then last Sunday I tried to preach where David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. And certainly goes together. And I thought I would try today to preach on sanctification, but my mind during the week was carried somewhere else that still seems to have something, have everything to do with the last two Sundays in sanctifying ourselves, of course, knowing that we are sanctified. And we have been made holy, righteous, given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And we have the desire to sanctify ourselves. And then we are to encourage ourselves in the Lord, not in other things. It's a constant battle in doing that. And yet we have a merciful God. Merciful God that looks over us and blesses us in spite of ourselves so many times, all the time. But he sees us as saved by the blood of his precious Son, Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go to the 31st Psalm. I want to talk some about committing our spirit into his hands. We know in Luke 23:46, I believe it is, Jesus Christ said to God, his Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then that was done then. And he shouted with a loud voice and his work was complete, but we can and should commit our spirits and commit ourselves, commit our trust to God throughout our lives. If I wait until I'm at death's door, and then, okay, and into thy hands I commend my spirit, that's fine. Stephen said, receive my spirit, when he was stoned to death. God received Jesus Christ, and he was set down at the right hand of the majesty. But what a waste of a life if, in fact, we have been sanctified eternally, made holy, and that we don't act on that. There's been many arguments, discussions, and even divisions in the church on the extent of that and whether or not you react to that and to what extent, what depth in exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. We're blessed in this. We see mercy throughout it. And when we trust in God, it's hard for me personally, I'll confess, to place my trust completely in something, someone. The only one I need to completely put my trust in is God Almighty, Jesus Christ. There's nothing or no one else. We rely on people. We trust people. We'll say, well, I ask so-and-so to do something for me or to do me a favor, and I trust that he'll do that. He'll carry it through. Others think, I don't know if he's failed me before and all. We have all that. But God does not fail. In fact, he has mercy on us even when we fail to put our trust in him. This psalm begins, David says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. So he's a strong rock. He is our defense. He is, it's the third verse, he's our rock and our fortress. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. And yet in saying that prayer, uttering that prayer, that part of that in that third verse, then I have felt him leading me and guiding me, and then I will withstand that and suffer for it, suffer for it so much less than I should suffer. But when I know very well, this is the way he's leading me. Even knowing and seeing and experiencing in my life, when I actually put my trust, he blessed me to put my trust in him and his righteousness, that he would lead me in his righteousness. I've seen that happen, and it worked out. And not only was I blessed, those around me were blessed. Even that, I will go, I think, well, no, I'm not sure if this is the right way. Second guess and all. I think of Paul having a desire to go different places in Asia Minor over there. And the Spirit forbade him to do that and so forth. And he was on his way to go over into Europe and preach. So then it says, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily, secretly for me. To me, no one that I'm aware, I don't believe anyone, I'm thinking at work, school, wherever it was, certainly not in the church, that have laid a net, a snare for me. But I think of Satan laying the snares privily out there, just waiting for me to step in that trap there. But he prays here that, for thou art my strength, pull me out of that net, into thine hand. This is the verse. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. He placed all of his trust in God Almighty to guide him in the strength of the Lord and in his mercy. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth. O Lord, God of truth, I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. The Lord. Here's the verse of Scripture that tells you that the Lord considers your trouble. He certainly knows what you're going through. He does not determine your next step or does not determine what you'll do this afternoon, but he is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows that what you will do. And even in that, he has mercy upon us and blesses us to put our trust in him. He's considered our trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. He's a close, the phrase personal savior has been abused and misused, I believe, in the world. We don't even know and realize, I think we do more than many, how personal it was. I feel like that on Calvary's cross over there, when he was nailed to the cross, Jesus Christ, and when he took upon himself each of my sins, he knew that. He knew my name, and he knew at that point, I'll call his name one day. He's going to call me on that morning of the resurrection, whenever that is. The Son of Man didn't even know, doesn't even know. But God knows. He knows right now. It's as if it's already happened. But as we go through these adversities and we battle to mortify ourselves, to mortify self, and to fight that battle because it's what we owe God, knowing that He will call my name, gives me hope, and that whatever happens, I will have rest in this life. And finally, I will be at rest, in perfect rest, in sinless, glorious rest in heaven. So he says, I commit into thine hand, I commit my spirit. Ninth verse, have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. I have prayed that prayer so often. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. There's the many times that I've prayed that, realizing that I was the one that walked into that trouble, then He had mercy upon me, and He knew my troubles. He was aware of that in my adversities and my iniquities. So he considered my trouble and bestowed mercy upon me. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly, for my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity. And I want to remember that when we go to another psalm here in a moment and over into Proverbs. It says, my strength faileth because of mine iniquities. Now, remembering last 2-3 weeks in the subjects that I tried to preach on, in sanctifying ourselves and putting self to death each and every day, and then to encourage ourselves there. I want to find, how do I make that easier? I guess I'm just selfish that way. I want it to be easier, but I want to serve God better also. I want to serve Him better. These adversaries and enemies that attack us in our lives, and many of them are from within, they distract us from serving God, and they are a detriment to us and the church of Jesus Christ, because they distract us from serving God. Here is one way. It says that my strength faileth because of mine iniquity, my sinfulness, my weaknesses. My strength fails because of that. There's one way, and as I preached on encouraging ourselves in the Lord, our God, then we have to encourage ourselves, because if we're discouraged, if we have no courage, then how are we to withstand Satan and his wiles here? Which is with me. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. Now, in the 37th Psalm, just a couple of pages over, 37th Psalm. So into the hands of God, David committed his spirit, which we should. There is not, when we're baptized in water, signifying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is not an eternal change in that. But there should be a change. Now, we should already be living the life that we should when we enter into the church. In the ordination of a deacon or a minister, you don't wait till the day of your ordination when they say amen after the prayer to make, I need to change my life and my ways now. No, it should have. The church recognized that you are qualified to carry that office of deacon, or to that you had a calling to preach the gospel. So there's no change. But there should be a commitment there. I remember when I was 11, about to turn 12 in 72, when I joined the church, and there was I was encouraged and excited by that, and yet I knew nothing about the church, but yet I was excited and encouraged by that, we should commit ourselves and not lose that commitment. I always thought on the day of my ordination to the ministry that I would not lose that feeling of dedication and devotion to the church, and if I did, I would simply walk away and not burden the church with my troubles. I was fearful that I'll lose that excitement and encouragement and optimism there. But I don't believe I have. I believe Lord has blessed me and encouraged me through His Spirit. This 37th Psalm begins, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Now I read this, and this is, of course, talking about evildoers outside of himself, those that would go, they threaten his life and so forth. But I also think that nothing can separate. I think of Romans, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, and that includes me. I cannot separate myself. So when I get grieved in my sinfulness, when I say, well, I might as well just stop because I have burdened the Lord. I have strayed from Him so deeply I should not. I might as well not go back to Him. That's not how God feels about His sheep. So I am an evildoer. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Again, that's me as well. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. And there's strength in that. Our iniquity is what drains us of our strength. It's what drains us of our encouragement, our courage. We're to stand fast and fight valiantly with a sword in hand. We're to do that. And yet I can't do that with no courage. I need to be blessed with that. And it's a renewing day by day. Worshiping and praising God Almighty. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So there we go. Well, if I do this, then verily thou shalt be fed. So I know that. I'm a person that, again, logical. I like list and check things off. Here is one thing, black and white, that I can do to help myself. You'd think I'd remember it and do it. But I don't. I fail. I won't say we fail, but I say I fail. I see so much in you all where you express it, I know sincerely where you have committed your spirit into the hands of God. You have dedicated yourselves to service of God. Then that means to His God's people as well. And you've done that. And I know we'll stumble and fall. It's hard. But I've seen that. And I've seen God in your lives. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. That sounds good. Then it says, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. There's another one we can write down. Here's in this list. How can I make this better for me? That I might serve God better and more acceptably. But it says that He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Our heart, soul, and spirit, they have been made holy. It is not a heart of stone any longer. And so the true godly desires of my heart, He will give me that. He's not talking about a wish list of some sort and riches monetarily and so forth, the desires of thine heart. Now, here's the fifth verse in 31st Psalm, and it's again here in 37th Psalm, fifth verse. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring it to pass. If we do, that's a surety right there, commit thy way unto the Lord. Back here in the 31st Psalm, he committed his spirit into the hands of God. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Seventh verse, rest in the Lord. So we have, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Rest in the Lord. There's a common element here. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. And isn't he praised when we do that? When we, once again, for that moment at least, mortify self, that we set ourselves apart from the world and from sinfulness, that we sanctify ourselves only because Jesus Christ sanctified us legally on the cross, and that the Holy Ghost, God Almighty, sanctified us and charged his righteousness to us. To know right now that you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ within you. I can't even word the description of that, the feeling that we should have in that. We have the righteousness of Christ because he was charged with every one of our sins. They were all placed upon him. It's not fair that God didn't choose every one in the race of Adam. It's not fair. It's not equitable that Jesus Christ had our sins placed upon him and that he died for us, that he suffered at the wrath of God. I think of the physical suffering. We can see that. We can envision it and describe it and almost feel the pain there. But the wrath of God, that eternal wrath that we deserve, Christ took upon himself. Amen. There. And in that 33 and a half years that he was here, he knew that's what he was going to do. In eternity, he knew. When God, I'll just bring it down to me personally right now, when God, at whatever moment, I don't understand eternity. It's like trying to understand time travel or something. You get twisted around. But that moment that God chose me, that very moment, the very moment that he loved me, he already knew that he was going to have to send his son to die for me. Yeah. And he did it anyway. Who knew? It's just unbelievable. Now I have the expectation, the full hope expectation that I'll know that and feel it in its entirety. When I, body, soul, and spirit, when I'm glorified, and when we're there, we'll see that. And that's what those so many that have gone on are feeling now. They're not suffering now with the sinfulness that we have, that we're battling still, the evildoers, wondering what this world is going to be like one day. I could be selfish and think, well, I don't know how many years I have left. Mortality rate, I may live to be 120 or something, but even if I died tomorrow, and I know when I get to heaven, I won't worry about my kids and grandkids and all, but I'm like my grandmother. It's like she didn't sit saying, I wish I'd go on. She said, I wish the world would end just right now. You know, she is ready to go. She wanted everyone there, though. Yeah. She wanted people around her. She didn't want to just go by. Her dad would tell her, you know, well, why don't you just wish to go on yourself? I got things I want to do in my life. He was in college and all. And she said, no, I want everyone there. And one day we will be there. In perfection. We will be glorified in perfection there. We will realize the eternal sanctification that Christ gave us. And we will no longer have to put to death self. We won't have to battle, have this war where it is the fight of our lives that we battle our sinfulness and iniquities. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. There is a hard one. Wait patiently for him. I pray and I want to answer to my prayer right now. And then I'm afraid if I think that way, that he's, okay, the answer is no, whatever it is. But to be wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself. There's that again. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Eschew evil and ensue peace. Seek peace. That goes against our very nature, not the nature of God, but my nature from Adam, from my father. That's therein lies the battle. There's a warfare there. But I'm thankful to feel that warfare, that battle, because that's an indication to me that I am a child of God. I truly want to serve my King, God Almighty. I truly, sincerely want to see Jesus Christ, body, soul, and spirit. And I truly want to throw myself around the feet of Jesus Christ. And yet, how can we show our gratitude to Him adequately? Well, we can't truly in this life, but we can show Him that in eternity. We will sing His praises. This morning it sounded real good. The singing sounded real good. It was blessed, and Brother Tim was happy to be up here leading again and hearing you all sing, and I've missed that. It just doesn't work out on computers so well, it's a great blessing. If nothing else, we've seen I've seen what I might have taken for granted.
Amen.
And I know I've shook a couple of people's hand and had to go out and get hand sanitizer, but it's hard not to do that for some of us. But it's an expression of love. And when you've grown up doing it, it's just hard to not continue. Now, in Proverbs, the 16th chapter, Proverbs 16, let me just skip to the third verse, Proverbs 16. Commit thy works. So, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Commit thy ways. Now, commit thy works unto the Lord. When we perform a work of faith, a work of an expression of love, something where we do something charitable for someone, we should commit that work unto the Lord. It is a sweet-smelling savor to Him. He tells us the importance of that when He says, if you've done it unto one of these of mine, then you've done it unto me. That's how important it is. And I know I fail at that. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So there's another one for our list of things that we can do. Commit thy works unto the Lord. If we do that, thy thoughts shall be established. They'll stand firm in the Lord. In the sixth verse, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So iniquity was what drained us of our strength, remember, in 31st Psalm. So the iniquity relieves us of our strength. It discourages us. We lose our courage. But mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So that's interesting. You know, so many times I think, well, someone's made me mad. It's like, well, I want them to suffer some and all. But he says here, he doesn't say that. He just says that it makes his enemies to be at peace with him. When we lose fellowship with someone, they've done something, and they need to repent outside of the church. There's so many misunderstandings in this. That's not saying that we've always said that the church is made up of sinners. We all are. We make mistakes. If I truly checked off the list. I shouldn't be in the church at this point. But we repent of that. And so when we restore fellowship, that's what we seek, is to restore fellowship. We're not out to punish someone. So even with our enemies, to restore the fellowship of that he blesses even our enemies to be at peace with us. And I don't even remember now where I ran across this name, but in this phrasing of commit into thy hand, unto thy hands I commend my spirit, or commit my spirit, commit thy ways, commit thy works unto the Lord, so forth. There is a man, he only lived, his name's John Huss. He's in Fox's Book of Martyrs. He came from what is now the Czech Republic, I believe. He died when he was only 46 years old. He was born, I believe, in 1369, died in 1415. So I don't think there's anyone here alive back then when he was living. But he only lived 46 years of age. He actually went into the priesthood. And so he went that route. John Wycliffe, another theologian and a reformist, Protestant, he had a great influence on John Huss. And there's many similarities with John Huss, this martyr, child of God, and Apostle Paul and his sufferings. John Huss went into the priesthood, but then he saw the light. He had revealed to him that Christ alone was the head of the church. He saw that. Now, I remember my sister one time talking to my dad about this, and he said, well, where are Primitive Baptists considered Protestants? Well, we're not. We're not. The church was established by Christ. There's no protesting against anything. Protestants protested against, putting it more, maybe oversimplifying, against the Catholic Church and all. So, and yet, yeah, we protest against that and so forth. But John Huss was a Protestant and he was a reformist. But then he shifted and he had many writings. He wrote books. So as he's living there and preaching, and then the cardinal in Germany, I believe it was, called on him to come and explain his doctrine. He said, come and explain that, and he promised that he would conduct his safety to come. So he went to Germany, John Huss did. Immediately when he got where he was going there, he was arrested. And they said, recant your doctrine, your teachings, or die. He did not recant them. He stood by Jesus Christ. And he called upon Jesus Christ as his judge, as the judge, the great judge. He called upon Christ to judge him. And they told him, is it rightful, acceptable for you to call on Christ as your judge? And he said, it's the only effectual appeal that I have is in Christ. He is our judge. So they imprisoned him. I believe it was in November of that year of 1414 that they arrested him, imprisoned him, put him in chains. And several months later, I believe it was in July the next year. So they took him out of prison and they're going to put him to death. And there were some things that they did. They put a mock banner or crown type deal on his head that had a mockery of a saying on it. I think of Jesus Christ and what he suffered. And John Huss even proclaimed, after knowing what Jesus Christ suffered, the chains that he bore, this is nothing. He was given strength even in his iniquities. John Huss was a sinner, just like the rest of us, and yet he stood firm. I don't know what I would do in that situation. I guess none of us know until we're faced with it. But so they brought him out, and they were going to burn him at the stake. And so they, and I'm skipping some things here, so they chained him to this stake. He actually said, I commit my spirit. They said, we commit your spirit to the devil, is what they said to him. He said, I commit my spirit to Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty. I commend my spirit unto him, my great Redeemer. Something to that effect. That's what he said. In strength, I think of Stephen being stoned to death, and the strength that he was given to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and so was this man, and so they, again in a form of and before this though, when they brought him out of prison, they actually to mock him even more so, they dressed him in all of his priestly garments there in prison, and then they stripped them of him from him one by one to degrade him. So they did that. So he's here ready, and they pile up all of his books around him, this stake, and then they finally set those on fire, and he could be heard. It was recorded that, and you can read this. It was recorded that he was heard singing to God Almighty loudly as he died there, and he suffered. And yet, this man, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Stephen, none of us suffer or will be called to suffer as much as Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, suffered. He will certainly never suffer the eternal wrath of God. He has taken that from us. He has actually taken our sin away from us. The same sin, and John Huss, John Wycliffe that I mentioned, he was actually, and they actually distributed John Huss's ashes after he was burned in the sea, but John Wycliffe, who was actually buried many years before, I don't remember the timing on that, but they actually exhumed him, burned his body, whatever was left, and in insult to him and to God Almighty and to Jesus Christ, and distributed his ashes with John Huss. I think of the persecution of children of God, of Christians who are sanctifying themselves in service to God because they know that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, sanctified them. What service? Makes me feel terrible and grieve. My soul grieves because of what little I do, simply because I know I don't have to do any of it eternally to save myself. We're going to be in heaven. We're going to be in heaven with our loved ones, with Jesus Christ, with God Almighty. I can't fathom that. We have these examples of setting ourselves apart in this world. And encouraging ourselves in the Lord God, and fighting our iniquities when Satan would distract us from serving God. When I see His mercy and then His grace, I get beyond His suffering something that I'm going through or doing, and seemingly I can say, "Well, He's blessing me still," but I know it's just He's suffering me. He's long suffering. But when I see His grace abound in my life, in my church life, in my family, then even when I would not separate myself from sinfulness, then what a blessing that is. And I give Him all the praise. There's a saying, what is it, except by the grace of God, there go I. I see different ones' situations, and I think that might as well be me. I cannot believe I have the life that I have, and that God's blessed me with the peace and the rest in the church. There's been some troubles along the way where we've been, but in spite of that, God still blesses the church because it is the church. He will not betray or forsake the church that Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, said get up. He will not forsake her. He'll continue to bless. Even through this thing here that we've experienced the last couple of months, it's been much worse before. But the great mound of blessed shower of blessings that he's just given me in my life. I think my natural family with which I've been blessed, and now my kids, my kid, my son, but now we have a daughter as well, daughter-in-law. But these blessings, let's not take these for granted. I looked at a little video on the internet of little Waverly this week. I was just smiling the whole time watching that. If you can find it on Facebook, but Christy posted it on there. And a real test of patience, I tell you, in that little girl. But I think of the blessings in that little family there and those that surround her, them that love them and that are supporting them, but none like Jesus Christ, who redeemed them from all sin and iniquity, that bought their soul, body, and spirit, and that will waft them as well to heaven one sweet day. And I long for that day. Yeah, I want all of us to be there, and that we might praise Him in eternity, as we should, without this plague of sin. That phrase, sin sick soul. My soul is sin sick. I'm just sick of it. I'm tired of it. It's such a weight. It's almost like a physical weight just holding me down. And I guess it really is. But Jesus Christ has eternally lifted that weight from us. It's gone. And He's waiting to call our name and call us home. And when His Father tells Him, and when our Father tells Jesus Christ, you go and get those for whom you died, that you gave your life for them, then we'll know the love that He has for us. He has, not that He had or will have, He's always had it. It's eternal. And because He loved us, we love Him. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If you have desire to join the church, you let us know. And of course, we won't shake hands at this point.